Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
So it is great to see you all. I'm going to finish off this morning. It's amazing for me. I want to really encourage you and round up what the Lord has been, not round up what the Lord has been speaking, but I really need you to listen today, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut across some religion, going to cut across some tradition, because I feel it's a really important thing that we have to do this morning. And it's about, but let me set the context for you. I was thinking, at the start of the year, that this series has been called Grace to Believe. It's not just an other series. It's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you and saying to our church. And so we started off the year by saying, you have to deal with your disappointment. Grace is bigger than your disappointment. Whatever your disappointment has been with, primarily, I believe that when we gather around the church is going to be your greatest opportunity to be peed off with people, right? I mean, isn't that right? No. Oh, Jesus, no. In all my years of church, I've never been wise up. There's a chewing gum sticking on me. And isn't it amazing? Because I'm not cynical about the church. I love the church, but the church is full of people who, we kind of think that, see, religion, when you're under religion, what the church says is, well, you've got to be perfect. And then we deal with imperfect people and we don't know what to do because people do your bapping, right? And then we get all hurt and offended and we say, Jesus is moving me on. Jesus, isn't it funny how Jesus moves on all the people who are just really ticked off? You know what I mean? Like, seriously? And so you sit under grace, and then what happens is the Lord shows you in your own heart what you have to deal with. And what I said is, do not move into 2019 blaming Jesus for all the stuff that's in your heart, all right? I go, no, just the Lord's just told me that I have to move on. I'll just bring all my stuff somewhere else. I'll go around in circles. The Lord breaks patterns like that. And what he does is he says, let go of disappointment, deal with it, allow grace to come, all right? Because you cannot move into your future if you're still anchored to your past, because your past will, it's like, remember I said from Romans 8, we love that verse, don't we? There's about the love, about no condemnation. Therefore, there's now no condemnation. We love that. Neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future. But Paul says he leaves out the past. Interesting. Has anyone ever discovered that before? He leaves out the past. So it's not like your past can separate you from the love of God. But what your past can do is it can rob you of the now experience of God's love and the future promise that he has for you. So what he says is just open your heart and allow grace to fill it. Because if you don't, you will replay the same scenes and be frustrated with people, frustrated with the church, and frustrated with God himself. And God's bigger than that. God's bigger than your disappointment. He can handle it. And why is that important? Because what you have to do then is, because the Lord said to us that this season, this big context that we're in, is one of latter rain, malkosh from Hebrew. It's almost, I said last week, the Lord giving you the sense of, I dare you to ask. There's such a sense of the Lord blessing his people in 2019 and breaking through. It's almost like, what do you hope and dream for? And even when I say that, what happens is we default to disappointment. It's almost like, why would I believe God for my future when he's disappointed me in my past? But the Lord is saying, no, this is a season where I have been preparing your heart with grace. You know, the early rains that come, then the latter rains that come, it's like fullness. But the Lord says, if your heart's not prepared with grace, what happens, that fullness just bounces away. And so we were encouraging. Then I felt the word for our church was giants will fall, thinking about where God has put us. Like in Belfast, isn't it funny? Just, I was here this week for the funeral, Ian Ogle's funeral, which happened right outside our door. And we were helping very practically with some of the arrangements around that with Covenant Love, who was leading that service. And just thinking to myself as I watched the funeral go past, because I went out and I stood there because I knew a lot of people from the community. And I stood and I looked at them and I just thought, Lord, my kids will not grow up. I'll say it again. Listen to me. And if it's not your kids, it's your grandchildren. Do not allow them to grow up in a land where Goliath still stands. He's got to fall. And what did David go out armed with? Nothing but grace. It's the only thing that will have Goliath fall in this city. In this, the principalities and the powers that come against us as the people of God will not be broken by wisdom and clever stuff. It will be broken by the grace of Jesus. So, but the Lord's saying, what is it that still towers over you? What are the things in your life where you have repeated the same scenes? God knows I get tired replaying the same stuff at times. Do you not? All right? Go, here we go again. And the Lord said, that Goliath's got to fall for you, and that Goliath will fall. But not because you're bigger, not because you're stronger, but because in the church, and it's important, I need to say this, Jesus loves the church. He loves Exchange Church. You will never make it on your own. Why? Because he designed the church for your goodness and for the goodness of this city. Do you get that? So let's not be snottery or upside down about it. He loves the church. God TV and Pastor Prince on his own is not enough for you. All right. How do I know that? I've asked Pastor Prince that to his face. Okay. I've heard him. He loves the church. He's where I feed from and where we take a lot of guidance from in terms of this gospel. But he's put you here for a reason. Not Pastor Prince, Jesus, right? He's put just, okay, we're not a cult, all right? But he loves the church. Jesus loves his church. There's an eternal purpose in the church, right? Just to be clear. You get that? And so, what happens is you find that the shepherd's pouch, all these details written into the story, the shepherd's pouch is the church, okay? So Jesus is the good shepherd. Shepherds carry a pouch, and everything that's in that pouch was for the goodness of the sheep. And what did David put in his pouch? Grace. So grace is found in the church for the good of the people. Isn't that amazing? The details written into the story, okay? And then the last week, I asked you the question, what do you see? Because if we're in a season, right, of seeing, I'll come to that in a wee minute, actually. But it was like, because there's been, if you have grown up in charismatic circles or any kind of circles in the church, thanks for coming, guys. And, all right. Was it something I said? Had enough, let's go. All right. What I said last week is that where does faith come to believe? You know, we talk a lot about have faith, all right, have faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from connecting back to the promises of Jesus, all right? Back to the promises of Jesus. And what the Lord does is, that's why he gives you imagination, right? The Lord gives you imagination so that you know, I said, what happens whenever you hear about bad news? What goes off in your mind? What do you picture when you're feared or worried, all right? That's the way the Lord has actually made us. So what he does in the word is he writes the promises, over 7,700 promises, he writes into the book so that when you read them, it gives you a picture of what it looks like. You'll be like a tree planted by rivers of living water. Do you get that? All that sort of stuff. And so you can picture that and you can go, okay, I can see what that would be like. So last week I said that this season, hey, the fifth word of the Hebrew alphabet is an open window. An open window to what? It says in Malachi 3, an open window to heaven. All right, so if you're under law, the rabbis don't understand what this means, but essentially what it means for us who understand grace is that right now, the Lord says, what do you see? When you look through a window, it shows you heaven. This is what this means. And so the letter hey actually has this sense of behold, look. And I asked you to go, what are you believing for? What are you seeing in your mind? The Lord has given you the ability to think and dream and believe. But what happens is disappointment comes and stands at the doors of our heart and robs us. But the Lord says, there's no other plan. I give you faith. I give you faith as a gift. Now, what do you, when you look through grace or you look through hay and you see heaven, what does it mean for you? So what does it look like for you to be perfectly well and healthy? Are you sick this morning? Do you have sickness in your body? When you look through grace, what do you see on the other side of encountering Jesus? What does it look like for you to be fit and healthy? Have you been there in your mind? It's not about you just creating, okay? You're not creating anything. You're lining up with what grace says Jesus has already done. So what does it look like to have a perfectly clear mind? What does it look like to have a fantastic relationship with your spouse? What does it look like for your home to be a home at peace? Look through grace and go to the other side and allow your mind to expand. And every time you feel that disappointment, say to the Lord, I cannot deal with this on my own, so you heal me. But I will not allow myself to be robbed of my future. What do you see? I asked you last week, because under religion, what religious people will tell you to do is do more. What are you going to do this year? What's your plan? What are your resolutions? What are you? And the Lord goes, no, what do you see? Because it's about seeing Jesus. I'm going to talk about that today, right? It's about seeing Jesus. What do you see grace look like? And I said, the Lord has given you an amazing ability in your mind, almost like to paint a multicolored 4K, high-dimensional, whatever picture, all right? Super clear picture. He doesn't kind of be very bland about it. You know, sometimes when I paint, I can't paint at all, right? I'm absolutely flipping rubbish. My son Ben has inherited my complete lack of ability when it comes to anything to do with art. I mean, it's abysmal. I mean, really abysmal. And so stick men is as good as I get. But the Lord goes, actually, you can paint this. You've got a blank canvas with Jesus, right? Because you're blessed. He goes, what picture do you want to paint for your life? Or do you just want to go, I'm hurt and disappointed and fed up and don't like people. I'll just live 2019 like that again and blame everybody for my stuff. No, it's so much more for you, right? So last week I asked you, what do you see? All right? And then this week, I just want to finish up. Does that make sense? I'm trying to keep the context for you. But this week I was watching something on. I remember the great prophet. I was really inspired by the words of the great prophet Roy Walker. Remember him? I didn't expect that one coming, did you? Remember Roy Walker? No? There's people of a certain age who go, well, I remember him. What was his most famous show? Catchphrase. Seriously, Jesus can speak to you through anything. So actually it really helped me because last week, right? What do you see, right? What do you see now here? So I'm watching that. So keep pressing, keep guessing. Remember that one? That was good. It's good, but it's not, right? Brilliant. But what was his most famous one? Just say.
What do you see?
Oh, thank you so much. Isn't that awesome? So I'm sitting there going, Jesus, you've sent Roy Walker to bless us. You know what I mean? Isn't that funny? What really cracks me up is that's actually entertainment. We actually watch that as entertainment. Like, it wasn't good. It was absolutely rubbish. Go onto the YouTube, right? And check it out. It's absolutely atrocious. It's good, but it's not right. Keep pressing and guessing. It's like, all right? Gee, times were tough. See, you young people, you don't understand the struggle. That's all I'm saying. You don't understand the struggle. But it really struck me, okay? It really struck me. And I want to finish. If you remember nothing else, remember this. Say what you see. So last week, whenever I said, what do you see? When it comes, because the language of faith to believe means that we speak and we know that, right? We speak, but what do we speak? That which we see. And this is where people have got into trouble before. I've stood in many meetings and many times where people are you know, it's about faith and your mouth will speak, okay? Now, I'm saying it's really important what comes out of your mouth. But what we're talking about is a time of blessing where instead of just, because let's be honest, if I was to ask you to put your hands up and say, I have spoken, confessed, and said stuff, all right? And nothing happened. Anyone? Okay. Thank you for putting your hands up. The rest of you are telling porkies. All right? That's the truth. That's okay. Because actually what happens when it comes, because I believe that the last thing for 2019 in this series is watch your mouth, okay? And that doesn't mean that we turn into some hyper faith. Whatever's going on in here and wherever I go to in my head is irrelevant. It's not. What the Lord says is let your words line up with who I am and what I have done. So say what you see. He thought Roy Walker could bless the church, right? He was last spotted. I actually Googled him this week. He was last spotted in Asda in Blackpool. I mean, how the mighty have fallen, right? Is he still alive, actually? Yes, that's good. Whew, awkward. And so, all right, so let me just give you a story. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. I want to show you what you see, all right, and what you have to say as a result. This is a story of Jesus, okay, and what happens when you get into trouble. It's the fourth watch of the night. Let's read it. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against him. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, take heart, it is I, okay? Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying, oh, you have little faith. Now remember, I have already told you last week that Jesus is not rebuking him in the sense, excuse me, of him not being good enough. Oh, you have little faith does not mean you're not good enough. What it means is that it's this idea of Jesus says, come and take more. It's like, are you so small-minded that you can't see me in my fullness, right? So he's actually saying, expand your mind. What do you see? Who do you see that I am? So it's not a telling off, or gilipistos in Greek, if you want to go look it up. It's Jesus, the only one who uses it. He uses it five times. And it's an encouragement, not a rebuke. But I said that last week. Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, this is interesting. It's the fourth watch of the night, okay? The last watch is always the darkest bit. So in the fourth watch of the night, this was between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And this is when the night is darkest. Do you get me? I want you to think about your life and what's going on and what 2019 looks like, because it's the bit just before the dawn comes is the fourth watch. So this is the context, the darkest bit of the night, and dawn is just about to break. And, you know, if it feels dark for you in some areas of your life, if you're struggling to see the light for some areas of your life, if you're going, this is dark as dark can be for me, I want to see a way forward, then listen to what I'm saying to you this morning, because this is when Jesus walks on the sea towards you. Now, what's very interesting is you need to see on one level, this is such an easy story. The story is that which the disciples think is going to destroy them, Jesus appears and he says, I am above every problem and every situation that you think is going to sink you. Just on one level, that should be enough for us to go, thank you, isn't that right? What is it that's coming towards you? What is it that you're battling with? What sickness, what condition, what is it? What is it that's going on? Because the Lord says, it doesn't matter. In the darkest bit, when you feel like there's no light at all, then I walk towards you and I stand on top of it. So he comes walking on the sea. And what he says is, you don't need to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. It says in Ephesians 1:22, God has put all things under the authority or under the feet of Christ and has made him the head over all things. Now, we read those things at the very start of Ephesians 1 and books like that, and we go, seriously? But when he says all, he means all. He doesn't mean some. He doesn't mean a little bit. He means all of the things. And what I want to say to you this morning very quickly is there's something very interesting that Jesus actually says in the middle of this, when he appears and he goes, whatever you think is going to sink you, whatever you think is going on, then I am. That's all he says. He says, look and say what you see. I am. Do you see me above it? Now, it's very interesting, this little verse, I am, or it is I, is the way that is written in most of the translations, okay? It is I. It's the same expression that you read all the way back with Moses in the burning bush. I am. All right? And it's so amazing that you have these little words in English. It is I. But it means something completely different when we start to unpack actually what the words mean. And so my encouragement for you is this. In the darkest bit of the night, when there's no light going on, when you feel like you might sink, Jesus appears above it all, looks at you and says, what do you see? Therefore, what are you going to speak? What do you see? Do you see Jesus saying, it is I? Do you want me to unpack it for you? Because you actually have to go to the original language. It's the word, it is I, or I am that I am. It contains each tense of the verb to be. I'm going to say this slowly. We can translate it as, I was in your past, I am today, and I shall always be. He is the eternal I am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He announced that Elohim, this is the word that's rooted in, is self-existent, beside whom there is no one else. He is without beginning, without ending, from everlasting to everlasting, he is. Yahweh is the absolute I. He acts with self-dependence, the absolute God of the fathers. He is the divine being, moving, pervading history, manifesting himself in the world. He is the self-determining one, absolute independence, in harmony with himself, remaining consistent. The absolute I, moving with unlimited freedom. He is the absolute personality. He is the personal God in his historic manifestation, unfolding and revealing himself. He is the God of redemption. By this name, he is eternal. He's uncaused, unconditioned, independent, and self-sufficient. As the God of grace, he becomes whatever is needed to meet the needs of those who are his. He is the becoming one. There is the promise of continuing self-manifestation in his name. I will be that I will be. Isn't that flipping crazy? I mean, that's them trying to get this sense from the original language of the Jesus that loves you this morning, of the Jesus that appears to you. And what I'm trying to say is, this is the Jesus that comes to you in your darkness and in your storm. And so it's not about you just having to say stuff in the hope that it will work. It's about you looking at this Jesus, the great I am, who comes to you. And when you see him, then what do you say? Do you get that? So what you say is what you see in Jesus, not what you hope for by crossing your hands and going, I hope that works out. It's you look at Jesus in the darkness. You look at Jesus in the storm. You look at Jesus above the waves. And you, when you look at him, this great I am, the one who pervades history from beginning to the end, the one who holds it all. It's like when you see him now, what are you going to say whenever you've looked at him? Do you get that? That's flipping awesome. When you see him, what do you say? This is the great I am. The Pharisees accused Jesus of blasphemy. Actually, they said he was, because he was forgiving sins. They said only God can forgive sins. And this is where he says in John chapter 8, I am. The complaint is like, you know, how do you say that you're God? Like, seriously? And when, see, this is the accusation that will come to you. This is what the enemy will do. Look at this is just a picture of religion, right? So religion will come to you and will say, listen, who's this God that you stand and you worship? Who is this Jesus? How dare you think that your mouth can speak out and say stuff, knowing in your heart that you will see it come to pass in this season that the Lord has promised. Who is this Jesus, right? This is, you see what the religious people did here? When the Pharisees are just a picture of religion, earning God's favor, performing for God, doing for God, right? And what does Jesus say? Jesus says in the middle of it all, he doesn't fight them. He just goes, before Abraham was born, I am. It's like all, it cuts above everything, goes above everything. And they knew exactly, the Pharisees knew exactly what he meant. What I'm trying to say to you is this. When condemnation comes, when religion comes, when death comes, when sickness comes, the spirits that operate behind those things know full well whenever you stand and you keep your eyes on Jesus and say, I am. They know exactly what that meant. And this is why at times we talk about the power of the name of Jesus and we talk about calling on the name of Jesus, because actually when you do that, it's not about you creating. It's about the spirits and the principalities and the powers that come against you understanding the order. And the order is I am first. So it's interesting when religion and condemnation and death, because religion is about death, right? The fruit of religion is death. It never works. You'll tire yourself out and you'll do yourself in trying to ever earn what God has for you. And you know what? It made the religious people so angry they tried to stone Jesus. Hell hates the message of grace. Hell rallies against the message of grace. And when they saw grace, religion tried to kill him. But when we see grace, we speak what he has done for us. We don't speak just from ourselves because there's no power in that. You say what you see. So do you see Jesus above your circumstances? Do you see Jesus above the waves? If you do in your heart and you've imagined it, say it. Say it. And there's power there. The power comes from your speaking whenever it lines up with who he is revealed to be. I wish, you see, that's why the revelation of grace matters. Because I grew up through my Christian walk for the longest time with a mixture, okay, of just say it, hoping that it will be true. But without the full revelation of Jesus, that's just coming from you. Do you get that? Unless you preach Jesus in his fullness, Jesus in his grace, Jesus, then you can't say what you see, because you will all automatically be limited by the gospel that you sit under. If you're not convinced that Jesus actually does not want you sick. But if you're not convinced that Jesus wants you well, you will never speak in faith against sickness. Do you get that? Your words might sound right, but if your heart's not convinced, it will not happen. That's why week after week, we tell you that God wants you well. Because you can only believe to the limit of the message that you sit under. Does that make sense? What do you see? When you see it, say it. And sometimes it might feel like it's good, but it's not right. Say it anyway. Am I stretching that one too far? Yeah, I think so too, okay. Here's so funny, just at me. Because what religion understands is the great I am sits there above it all, every storm. And they understand it. And they couldn't kill him. They couldn't destroy him. But they saw what he was creating, this kind of new way of operating and working, where every spirit and every principality and power not just would be subject to him, and religion hated it. It's interesting to hear back to this story. Peter walks in the water. Now, Peter's uneducated, right? He's unsophisticated. He's a fisherman, hard as nails. So he looks at Jesus. Can I just tell you what happens here? He looks at Jesus. The wind was boisterous. It's the darkest bit of the night. And there's this moment, right? We have this kind of sanitized. I've been on. Did I tell you it was in Israel? Sea of Galilee gets really, really rough. And you wouldn't think it because you can kind of see it's like Belfast Lock, sort of a bit bigger, but you can see across the other side. But it does get really, 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 really rocky. Now, what's really interesting is when Peter, in the middle of the darkness, he looks at Jesus, right? Tell me to come. So he looks at Jesus. And what happens as he looks at Jesus? Who does he become like? He becomes like Jesus. He's able to do, there's Jesus above it. What does Peter do in the middle of the darkest bit where the waves crashing over, thinking he's going to, where does he put his attention and his focus? Boom, straight onto Jesus. When his eyes are on Jesus, he becomes like Jesus. He's an overcomer. What happens then? Was it the waves that caused him, was the waves too big? Where did he put his attention? On the wind, right? So what we see here, right? What was, when you think about it, what on earth was wind got to do with walking on water? Nothing. It was all about where his attention and his focus was. So he starts to sink into the water, not because the waves are big. You will not sink in the circumstances that you're in. Do you get that? If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll overcome them. But as soon as you take your eyes off and look at something else, all right, boom, he starts to go down. Isn't that crazy? We think it was the waves that he was worried about. He wasn't. He took his eyes off and looked at the wind. The wind's got nothing to do with walking on water. Like, seriously, when you think about it, wind can blow as hard as you want. You're still going to walk on. Walking on water was the big issue. But what it says, he looked at the wind. The wind became boisterous and he went, boom. Do you get me? Keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes up and keep looking up. Now, I just want to say this last thing to finish about 10 minutes, okay? It says in Hebrews 12:2, if you looked at you, don't, what I'm trying to say is in all of this, when the Lord is speaking to you, it's this kind of a roundup, so it's quite tricky to teach right into, but when the Lord is speaking to you about the context that we're in and what we're doing in 2019, when he's saying, look through and see, look through grace, look through the lens of grace and you'll see heaven, and it'll paint a picture of what that looks like for you, okay? In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking under Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? I just need to say to you that the whole way through this, how you're going to grow in faith this year and see faith this year is only through seeing Jesus. It says the author and the finisher. The word here is telos. It means a consummator, to bring a process to a finish. And what it does is it says that your faith begins and ends, finishes in Jesus. That's it. Nowhere else. Don't look to your faith, look to Jesus. Don't look to your faith, look to faith in grace in Jesus. Because he's the beginning and the end. He starts it and ends it. He begins it and he finishes it. And here's the interesting thing. You can't look up there and have your eye on something else because you'll sink. That's the point from the story. It is fully focused on Jesus and who he is. There's no way it'll work. It's no way. Does that make sense for you this morning? I guess what I'm trying to say for you this year, have you thought even in the last couple of weeks about letting your mind and your heart go to, flip me, Lord, what would that be like? Have you gone to September, October, November, after the rain's come and gone, seriously, Lord, I can picture this, I can see it. Have you allowed your head to do that, or are you still anchored in disappointment? What is it? Which one is it? The biggest thing I think, just to say and to finish, is you need to keep your eyes up and don't let your faith get in the way. If you ask yourself, because I'm asking you to believe for what grace has done in you and given for you, do you get that? But if you ask yourself at any point, do I have enough faith for this? You've already put a hindrance between you and Jesus's finished work. Because the more you focus on your faith, the more faith slips away. But if you focus on Jesus and the work of Christ and you see God's grace towards you, God actually sees that as faith and he responds. Without realizing, okay, faith is there in your heart to believe already, okay? And I want to say to you, don't make your faith a barrier. Just keep your eyes up. I know that his faith is enough for you. Last thing I want to say is, so what about saying what you see? Well, it says in Romans 10, 5, 6, this says, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. So law is about doing. Righteousness of faith is about saying, is about speaking. Let me say something just about faith, faith to believe for what you're starting to see. You cannot have faith without actually speaking it. When you study Romans 10, you'll notice that it says the righteousness of the law does, but the righteousness of faith speaks. The law is about doing, faith is about seeing and therefore speaking. It's not enough to just to know in your mind that God loves you and you're righteous. Do you know that? It's you have to open your mouth every morning and say, I am loved. I am the righteousness of Christ this morning. I've seen it and so I speak it. It's not enough to know it. The righteousness of faith speaks. And when you speak lined up with the word of God, it has creative power in your world. Do you get that? You have been given the power of life and death in your tongue to create, but it has to line up with what grace has done. Otherwise, you will be tired and exhausted, like hyperfaith people. Do you believe it? Speak it out. And then, but such disappointment and hurt in their hearts because it never really works. Why? Because they never had the revelation of Jesus. They had one eye on Jesus and one eye on everything else, and that's why they sank. Do you get that? So, what I want to say to you is Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:13. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. Law will say, I believed, therefore I did, but I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. So the spirit of faith for 2019 for you is about seeing, it's about dreaming, it's about believing, and then about speaking what he shows you. And the more you believe it and the more you speak it, the more you will walk in it. I have to say that Penny and I do pray every morning. I'm not saying that just to go, ooh, look at us. But I actually don't think there's any other way for us to start our day. We try to get conscious of Jesus before we have to get up and face each other and the kids. Do you know that? Then we, like, just to be real, you know? I need a whole lot of Jesus first thing in the morning because as soon as I set my foot out of that bed, it's like first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. Do you know what I mean? It's just a flipping nightmare. You haven't seen that movie, you need to watch it, all right? Blood everywhere. It's a nightmare, all right? We have to say, Lord, we are loved. We have to say, Lord, you're for us. We have to say, Lord, we know that there are principalities and powers that come against us today, but we are safe in the shadow of your wings, all right? We thank you that we have faith today. We thank you that we have blessing today. We thank you that these hands, what you're going to put them to is going to be blessed and prospered because you said so. We thank you, Father, that when we're weak today, you're going to be strong for us. We just pray. We pray for our kids. We pray for each other. And, you know, that's what we do to get Jesus conscious. Why do we do that? It's about being Jesus conscious. Because God knows, I don't know what your life's like, but see, as soon as you get up in the morning, boom, 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 boom. Is that right or not? And where is it happening? Are you actually physically doing it? No, it's all happening up here. Do you ever find that? Open your eyes, ba-ding, dum 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 dum. It's all at you. No? You want to close your eyes, but you're awake by that stage, so it doesn't matter. So it's still going to go round and round and round and round. No? Maybe it's just me. Of course it's not. It's all of you. Stop acting so flipping holy. We all know what it's like. And so we get, that's why we speak first thing in the morning. We open our mouths. So if I could say to you this, just to finish, start speaking and you will start to see good. All right? Amen. When you see it, when you dream it, even little moments in your car this week, when you go, Lord, wouldn't it be brilliant if I could see that relationship restored? All right? Or you picture, I would love that to be better. Just start and say, yes, Lord, amen. And start to speak out what the Lord's starting to do in your heart. He wants that aligned. And whenever you speak out, look at what happens in John 8. When the people accuse and religion accuse and spirit, because it wasn't about the Pharisees, it was about the spirit of the law. It was about the principalities behind the law came to accuse him. And that's not God. What happens is as soon as you say yes and in agreement with the great I am, the spirit shut up. Like I have no answer to Jesus revealed. Do you get that? That's the power. That's how you don't have to Jackie Chan the devil. Sorry. All right. Okay. But you don't. I've said it time and time again. You just have to see in your heart and speak what he's revealing to you and let him do the rest. If you have healing, you can say sickness and pain. I command you to be plucked out of my body in Jesus' name, right by the roots, cast it out. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I will live and I will not die. All right? That I speak the goodness of God over my life. If you need provision, you can say what? The Lord is my shepherd. I'll not be in want. He took my poverty at the cross and he gave me his prosperity. He supplies all of my needs according to what? His riches. His riches, not my hard work, his riches. I align with what he's doing. So if I feel lack, if I feel pressure about tomorrow, if I feel pressure over my bank account and my future, what are you going to do? One eye on Jesus and sink? You're sinking because you've got one eye there and one eye somewhere else, all right? And it's not the money that's going to sink you. It's the one eye on the other thing in the future or whatever. Get both eyes up there and say what you see. He's my shepherd. I'll not be in want. All right? If you have children, you can bless them. If you have grandchildren, you can bless them. Lord bless you and Lord keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. No evil, no harm shall befall you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If I could just say this last thing. There's a number of things. I'm going to do a talk when I get back, but I'm just going to give you a precursor because I want you taking communion in your homes. And with this, I'm finished. Marcel came from Young and Free at the start of the year, at the end of the year, and he talked about five times more. And I believe that's the manifestation of what we're talking about faith to believe and have in grace, okay? And it's interesting that when you look at the book of Acts, okay, there are four spirits that operate in the world today, right? You see them, the sometimes called horsemen of the apocalypse and all that, that kind of big flowery language in Revelation. But there's stuff about lack and sickness and all sorts of stuff. Then you see in Acts chapter 2, there's four things that the church are asked to do. Three of them happen in the church and one happens in your home, all right? And that thing that happens in your home is the breaking of bread. I'm going to show you when we come back why that really matters. But I want to encourage you to start to step into faith and to be Jesus conscious. Take communion in your families, in your homes. It's actually biblical. It's what they did in the early church. The other three things they did together when they met, but this one they did in their homes. And they also did it together. You can read it actually. So Acts 2, 40 and 46, and around there, 42 to 46. It's really interesting for me to think about that. Because see what I'm talking about today? It's not just for the Sundays where you get a wee pep talk. It's about tomorrow morning, Monday, starting your week with your eyes up there. With your eyes up there. Looking at Jesus, looking at Jesus, looking at Jesus. And what a better way to start than breaking bread and taking communion in your homes together. Every day they took and they broke bread. And you need to believe in the power of that and what it can do in you, your relationships, and in your family, okay? And I want to encourage you that as you do that more and you keep Jesus focused and Jesus conscious, as you allow him to show you who he is, then the words that come out of your mouth will not be, I hope, but it'll be, I see. You've shown me and I see, and therefore I'm speaking it. Say what you see. Amen, church?